Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
All right, it's time for Film Study with Ken McCusick of FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, first off, how are you, man?
Life's good, Jeremy. How about you?
Good. So we were talking about a couple of different things. Let's start with the playoffs. Something you just said as we were coming back from the commercial break to us about the different ways the Ravens have to get in. It still looks favorable.
Yeah, absolutely. All is not lost, let's put it that way. They will hold their destiny in their own hands regardless of the outcome against the Steelers. So even if they lose the game, they still, if they win their last four, they're in for sure. They win the AFC North. They can get there probably most likely at 9-8 is the most likely way they get there. 10-7 will certainly do it, and they even have ways to get in at 8-9 that are not outlandish.
Do we have to talk about this game? I guess.
That'd be a tough one to rewatch for you.
You know, it's kind of cathartic going through the film multiple times. Actually, good game by the offensive line, so not too tough to score from that perspective, but yeah.
We don't want to win and you can't make us. I don't quite understand how the Bengals had the ball for 39 minutes. 38 and almost 39 minutes. How the hell does that happen?
Well, 80-57 was the snap count. Yeah. And the Ravens in 12 ball games now have only had 60 snaps three times. I can't even tell you how ridiculous that is. It's just 70 or 68 snaps, that's kind of the Ravens' norm in the Jackson era. They will always have one snap count, and this year is just this wild anomaly where they can't stay on the field or convert third downs at a reasonable rate.
So, Ken, we were talking as well about the running back carries and how things have gone on. One of the things you pointed out to me is Rasheen Ali is a blocker, but your thoughts on that game specifically about how everything gets divvied out and what you've seen from Rasheen Ali.
Yeah, so let's start with Ali because he had a very big game this week and a big game for the rest of his career in Baltimore. So you started this. I've had Ali cut about four different times this year, when they've been short a roster spot. That's not the problem right now with this team. But Hill is out and Ali is completely filling his role as the third down or obvious, let's put not third down back, obvious passing situation blocking back. And he had three sets and eight chips on plays that ended up being a pass or a sack in this game. Made them all. Looked outstanding on those plays, by the way. He stood up Miles Murphy once. He knocked Geno Stone right down on the ground. He blocked two defensive backs on another play as a pass blocker. Had a really great game. His chip blocks, he goes right to the ribs. I mean, it's a forceful pounding hit he puts as opposed to a performative thing sometimes you get from other running backs. He just did a great job. He's in the last couple of weeks here, he's completely turned me around on where he is. And I think honestly, they save $4 million by cutting Hill next year. I think the likelihood is they'll keep Ali. So good move for the Ravens in terms of keeping him so far. Ali having the most snaps of the running backs, I guess that's kind of winning snap count, this last week was really a function of game situation. They had a lot of drives at the end of the half. They had two drives at the end of the first half where they had to pass, so Ali's in for those. Ali was in at the end of the game when they're trying to get the game over with. In fact, he had the last three carries as they're running out the clock on themselves. So with down 18, they're obviously not going to catch up, and he had three of his four carries then. He was only in that I saw for one first down that was a situation you might want to have Derrick Henry in. So he's not taking snaps away from Derrick Henry is the point I was making.
Just a piggyback. So in the first half, why the, you know, you get the carries on the first drive, you have your 30-yard touchdown, and then we don't see you again until later in that half. And he gets the, what, two more carries. And one of them happened to be when they got the stop on the 2-yard line, trying to get some of that. You know, as you're usually teams will run it on first down or trick you with some play action out of the end zone. Did you see anything in there why that might happen?
Why they didn't continue to try and run the ball more?
Yeah.
You know, they could have run the ball more in the game. They certainly could have. If you break it down play by play, what you'll usually find is the number of additional carries that they could have had for him is 3, it's 4, and if you really press it, maybe you can find 6 plays that you could flip over. It's not a lot. It wouldn't completely have changed his number of carries.
I get it. I mean, obviously, people focus on the turnovers, which they'll kill. You're not going to turn the ball over 5 times and win a game. Mm-hmm. But what I've been curious about, or confounded by, is Lamar's lack of accuracy. He's missing people by a mile. And I don't, have you seen this? Because it's like, it's not just, people keep pointing to his running. He's not running because of his injury, whatever. He was gone from being an outstanding passer to missing people by wide margins.
Yeah, this was his worst game probably ever in terms of that. He had 10 balls, as I counted, that he either missed the target with either ample time and space or with the ball out quickly. Now, ball out quickly, you complete a very high percentage of those passes. Ample time and space, a very high percentage of those passes. So these are the plays where you should really hit. And we've got a detail on that on the podcast I'll point people to. Sorry for the early plug on this.
I'll plug it as much as you want.
Yeah, but it's we go through all 10. It takes us about 20 minutes to get through. But he missed 3 big ones that I'll get to. The 2 to Tez Walker that were long left. And Tez Walker had a really good game. The second one in particular, he'd stacked Dax Hill, meaning he'd kind of gotten in the left lane ahead of him and made it very difficult for Hill to get position on to make a play on the football. And Jackson way underthrew the ball. Hill was able to get his arm into the catch point, and as he went to the ground, he pried it loose. And that was just an unbelievable shame, as it should have been a walk-in 6. And he had about an 8-yard window or so to throw that ball where Walker would have run under it very easily. He threw another ball high to Walker that he rifled after Geno Stone fell down. And then the big one he missed on the left sideline to Keaton Mitchell. If you look at the All-22, it looks like it's going to be about a 30-yard play. He's got one man to beat, a linebacker, and Keaton Mitchell versus a linebacker. He's going to make him look foolish.
Yeah.
And it might have been a house call, but it probably would have been at least 30.
All right, I'm going to have to ask you the question that I don't know that you can even answer. 14 points against the worst defense I've ever seen in this league at home on a Thursday night. How does that happen? And were you kind of taken aback by that? I mean, like, if they lost the game and scored 30, I'm kind of going, okay. I mean, they put up points. The defense let them down. I've just been shocked at the way the offense has looked.
Yeah, I mean, this you're right. It's such a bad defense. Even when they were down, well down 15 in the fourth quarter, you still figured there's still a chance, given how bad this team is. It just continual shooting themselves in the foot with these missed passes and the turnovers. It was an ugly, ugly game.
Yeah, it just was.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more that we can get to in here with talking about this. And I know we want to talk about the defense, which we'll do in the next segment. Ed, you got one more for me before we step out?
No, I guess because my big frustration is Lamar's inaccuracy. It was the worst game I've ever seen him play. And I don't understand this whole consistent abandonment of the run when things are still within reach. I don't for the life of me understand this. And I know the coaching staff's going to give us, that's what was presented. We just reacted to what's presented to us. No, no. You're the most prolific rushing attack in the league for years. Why would you abandon it when you're out? Your star Hall of Fame running back is playing well, and he has 10 carries.
You're not opposed to Lamar coming to the line of scrimmage, seeing 8 in the pass box, and deciding he wants to pass, are you?
No.
Okay. So there is some of that. Mm-hmm. And when the other team crowds the line of scrimmage, they take away the misdirection value of the Ravens offense. Not that most of it is not gone already by the fact that Lamar doesn't have the mobility he normally has. Mm-hmm. So going to the mesh point isn't the same kind of fear that normally evokes.
Because he's not running.
Defenses. Yeah.
But I still think they should be trying more off tackle and stop with these A-gap runs. because no one has even, they're getting hit before they hit the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And he can't have that. And Henry's always been better off tackle around the end because he gets 2-3 steps and then he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
But getting that big body moving and, you know, right away, it's not going to happen if someone's in the backfield.
Well, you're 100% right that that's where most of his big runs came last year. And he had, you know, the 87 was off tackle and whatnot. This year, somebody asked me that question again just in the last few days. And so I looked it up. PFF has the information on all 8 gaps. And he actually is much better in the middle of the field. It's really surprising. It's shocking. But he's been terrible on the outside. He's been his best on the outside is like 4.5 yards per carry. But in between the tackles, he's, you know, 4.9, 5.5, 6.
Mm. You know. How many different weird ways can they lose a game? Like fumbling through the end zone. We've seen that in the playoffs in the regular season. We've seen crazy, the ball bouncing a funny way or just, you know, poor execution, all types of things. But that's from the offensive standpoint. Defensively is where we need to go, and that's where we're going to get into next. Ed, you'll start it off, but we need to talk about the defense and how they performed against Cincinnati. And does this team now have to kind of, you know, hang their hat on the defense to win some games for them? We'll talk about that next right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, and Ken McCusick's joining us from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. We're going to talk about the defense. Ed, start it off.
Well, I'm going to start off with my favorite Raven. I had Kyle Hamilton grayed out in this terrible game.
He was okay. He wasn't the problem, if you want to call that. So, you know, they had a number of players who played well. He actually had pretty good coverage, I thought, on the 14-yard touchdown. Allowed 5.0 yards per target overall, which is good. It felt like Burrow was avoiding him, so that was good. What else to say? He didn't make an impact as a pass rusher in this game.
No. Nope. Well, it was just nobody did actually.
What did you see out of the defense this week? You know, we talked about the pass rush. Were they did Joe Burrow? Was he kind of picking them apart at times, or what did you see?
So they got decent overall pressure, but it wasn't really effective. It was effective, but they didn't quite get enough of it. So Burrow's had, with ample time and space, was at 9.3 yards per play, which is about what I would expect. It's above average, and he's an above average quarterback. With the ball out quick, and this is where a lot of Burrow's throws end up, he's below the norm for that at 5.2 yards per play. And that's 19 of his, how many did he have in this game? 47 attempts. in the game. I know he had 32 at halftime, which is like 46. One of the highest. I mean, 36 at halftime?
46 attempts.
Okay. And a sack, too.
So, one sack, yeah.
And then they got him for pressure 13 times, so 28%. That's too low. But he only got 15 net yards on those plays, so 1.2 yards per play on that. So he underperformed his opportunity set. And by the way, Lamar overperformed his, but the 5-0 in turnovers kind of makes up for about 400 yards of difference, probably. I'm kidding, you basically cannot overcome that kind of a difference.
How did they have only sack a quarterback once who had to take his shoe off when he was off the field because it was too uncomfortable? He's got this plate in the shoe, and he's coming off a foot injury. One sack. I thought they wanted to come after him with everything.
Yeah, it was from that perspective, they did not do a good job. And so some of the players who had been playing well recently didn't have a great game in this one. And I think you go to Draymond, versus not having a particularly great game. Mike Green, he's twitchy and he's moving around a lot. He didn't really have a great pass rush win rate, given that it's 47 total dropbacks, not all while he was in the game, but a lot of opportunity for him.
Hey, what about, I know you brought it up earlier, we're going to talk defense, but you said the offensive line performed fairly decent. If they had a good week, we at least have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This game really was all on Lamar and two other things. So one of the turnovers was likely getting blocked right back into Lamar, ball getting tipped, interception. So I'm sure folks remember that one. And then there were four other free runners generated by scheme. So they did a good job of rushing four, because they only averaged 4.3 rushers per play. But they did a good job of rushing only four, being very conservative about it, but it being a different four, so they could bring Stone and others from the outside and still maintain an advantage. Most of this was not on the offensive line. The offensive line had a good game going across. Stanley had a B, looked pretty good. Give up 2.5 pressures and a third of a sack, but it didn't allow the quarterback to get touched really on the play. He's getting bowled into the cone, but he didn't allow the quarterback to get touched. It's been a kind of a hallmark of Stanley's career. Voorhees, I thought, had a pretty good game. He had one false start and one pressure. He only played 41 snaps because they subbed him out for Emory Jones, who we'll get to in a minute. Linderbaum an A, no negative events. Fa'alele had a good game blocking. By the way, inverted game for Fa'alele. Outstanding game in space. And he really has not had one of these in his entire career so far, but he made 3 out of 3 pulls, 5 out of 5 blocks in level 2. Very unusual, and it's usually a problem with decisiveness for Fa'alele, mm-hmm. but this was a really good game and could be a good turning point for him. Unfortunately, he also gave up some pass blocking events, which took his score down to a C-. Rosengarten a C+, as I scored at 2.5 pressures, a third of a sack, half a false start. He faced a decent pass rusher in Miles Murphy on that edge. Emory Jones, everybody wants to hear about, was solid on his blocks, 13 of 15. Technique looks fine. I was a little surprised they started him at left guard, but they apparently probably want to see how he pulled. He pulled effectively once. Seems like he's more natural at right guard, given his size and length and whatnot, if he doesn't end up a tackle. But then he had the holding penalty, and the holding penalty really kills his grade, as I scored. It's enormously more important than other things. And other systems you'll see, other people you'll see, coaches, they'll tell you it's not as important. They're not looking at anything about win probability or expected points if they're doing
right.
That. Yeah.
What do you think about Awuzie's play in general?
Yeah, he's looked terrific.
He's looked pretty, I mean, I thought he looked really good in coverage.
You're going to need him a lot, right, with the injury to...
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, but go ahead.
it's him and Humphrey now. It looks like if Wiggins is going to miss some time, Wiggins' injury is just a backbreaker for the Ravens defense. Yeah. If they lose him, they really love to have the extra depth there, the ability to put Humphrey in the slot. They've got two ways they can fix it. They can put Tampa on the outside, Humphrey moving to the slot in dime situations, which is the only time they need that extra cornerback, because otherwise it's Hamilton there. And the other possibility is they could bring Keon Martin in, who the last two games he played was just outstanding, and I think would be a good option too. So having two ways to fix a problem in the secondary in December is a pretty good place to be.
Yeah.
I know we got a little bit of time left. Give me your initial thoughts. Huge game this week, obviously. Ravens are 5.5-point favorites. We just talked about their first-round rookie will miss. He should miss this game. They said he was going to miss multiple weeks. What do you make of this matchup? I've seen the Steelers play quite a bit, and I don't know how much other people... There's something missing with them.
Okay, first-round rookie, you're talking from last year, Nate Wiggins, right?
No, I'm talking about the Steelers.
Farmer, yes.
Yeah, okay. Farmer. Sorry, yeah. My apologies.
Yes, that's obviously a big deal. The Ravens are, It's a must-win game. I the Steelers are reeling in a similar way to them. Patrick Queen was out of the game. I don't know what his situation is. I'm not sure. Hey, I'm not honestly sure it's that big a loss for the Steelers if he's not in, but yeah. But it may be the next guy down is a lot worse. Seeing the way Rodgers is hobbling around out there and not able to put much mustard on the football with that arm of his, the left arm, in fact, I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't play Rudolph at this point. But yeah, I still like the Ravens' chance at home against this team. And if they beat them, it'll still only be one team the whole year they beat that has a winning record, and that's that win over the Bears with Tyler Huntley.
Wow. How weird is that?
This whole season. I got to say, it just from the 10,000-foot view, this is the oddest season I've seen in a long time where I don't know who the best team in football is. Usually there's a couple of clear the last couple of years, it's been Chiefs, Bills, Ravens in the AFC.
The problem is that there is clear picks. It's just we don't believe them.
No, I don't believe the Patriots, Bears, the Broncos, the Bears. I don't know. I guess.
Indy's not even in first place anymore. Jacksonville is.
Yeah. Jacksonville's in first. I mean, no one in the AFC North has a positive point differential. No one in the NFC South has one. It's like I've not seen anything like that. Do you attribute this to salary cap? This, you know, parity is becoming mediocrity.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm a big fan of parity. I'm not a big fan of teams using the methods of roller coaster parity that they spend their future cap to win now. I hate that. I never want the Ravens to do it. I don't want them to trade away all the draft picks.
Rams did it.
And now the Rams did it and the Eagles did it. And that bothers the hell out of me because everyone points. It's like, look, that's all you have to do. Just be like the Eagles. Just be like the Rams. Well, no. Look at all the other teams that failed with that same strategy. The Browns. Did they go all in too?
They're the exception to the rule. And the Rams actually it paying off because there are so many teams that have done this. Like I talk about teams that rebuild in baseball. And it's like the White Sox have been rebuilding since, 2003? Like, it's just, oh, here's 5 years. Let's change it up again. Let's get rid of everybody and try to flush this out. And it's just been a gigantic turd for them.
Browns have been rebuilding since 1964.
Oh, man.
It's just their last championship.
It's unbelievable. Ken, before we let you run, tell everybody about the website where they can find you, the podcast, everything.
Sure. FilmStudyBaltimore.com is the website. I'm at FilmStudyRavens on Twitter. And I've put out some short videos recently. So if you have a question, use hashtag FilmStudyMailbag on Twitter, and I'll try and answer it potentially with a short video.
Great stuff as always, man. Look forward to talking to you next week. Hopefully it's after a Ravens win over the Steelers, but we shall see. All right, we have more coming up here on the program. We're going to get to the Week 13 recap. We'll talk about all the things we saw. Maybe the greatest catch in NFL history by Puka Nacua. And it sucks. It's almost like, you remember when Farrah Fawcett died? Wasn't it the same day as Michael Jackson?
Mm-hmm. If I never remember, she died that
Nobody's going to know Brock Bauer's catch, and it was amazing.
Wasn't as good as Puka's.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't even close. Wasn't. That's one of the best catches I've ever seen in my life. So we'll talk about all that and more. Take your phone calls, 410-583-1057, right here on The Fan.
Stafford floats it. Nacua's the target! Oh! Puka Nacua! Absolutely ridiculous! Set up first down and goal.
Yeah, just playmakers making plays. And look, Mike Jackson is in a perfect position here. I mean, this is textbook as far as the technique that you would teach the corner. But you can't teach that.
Yeah, that's who's that courtesy of? Is that the Rams? Fox? So that's courtesy of Fox. And when you look at that game, it's a catch we talked about, where honestly, not only was the catch amazing, but if he doesn't make that catch, there's a good chance it gets picked off. And then on top of it, setting up for first and goal. And as the announcer said, it's not like the defender was in a bad place. He actually had his hand on the ball, and I think that's what helped Puka reel the ball in. But easily one of the best catches you've ever seen, right, Ed?
In my life. I mean, that's not – because I watched the game, you know, live, and people were talking about it as, you know, greatest best catch of the year. I'm like, forget that. It's not. It's the best catch I've ever seen. I've seen, you know, we've all seen some amazing catches. You know, we've seen, OBJ with his one-handed catches forever and stuff.
Hell, I mean, go look at the Brock Bowers touchdown catch this week.
It's a great catch. I mean, he scoops it up before it hits. It's like a couple inches off the ground and he gets it.
How about the Super Bowl catches? The David Tyree one
the
and even the Edelman one where the ball gets tipped around and he dives and catches it to keep the drive alive. Like, those are they're unbelievable catches, but because of the position you're in, I think some of those loom larger. But, like, I've seen Chris Carter make catches on the sideline and toe tap with a one-handed grab with a ball that looked like it was 4 feet over his head. Randy Moss, watching Antonio Brown, again, the toe-tapping stuff. I think some of the catches, the degree of difficulty in getting your feet down is one thing, but there's no doubt about this. He jumps up with one hand. He has his arm turned. He pins the ball to his hand. The defender's got his hand on it, brings it into his chest. Easily one of the best catches.
Oh, it was. Yeah, you should look. Go watch it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. All right, so here, real quick, we're going to go over our picks here on Thursday and Friday. Ed, you had you called the Chicago win. You called the Dallas win. I had Green Bay. We all had Baltimore. So, but again, the Chicago win. What did you see with that? Where you think they're for real? Where people are questioning them?
I do. I watch them. I think they're for real. I think sometimes you get a little bit of it. You know, when you get a paradigm shift where you're so used to seeing certain teams at the top, and that division has been dominated by the Lions recently, the Packers before that, you know, the Bears have been irrelevant for quite a while. And now it's like, they're not. They're really good. And I still
think they're a year away, but you're right. Like, we got to
pick them over the Eagles. That's not an easy thing to do because Eagles have, they're in the Super Bowl every year now. It's a really good team, and they took them.
Yeah, well, let's go game by game here and talk about it. So San Francisco at Cleveland. By the way, first off, my lock was the Browns this week. Felt like I deserved a little bit better. 4th-and-1 on your own 33, and they go for it, and obviously that changed the game. I've never seen someone like Shedeur Sanders that people hate him or love him, and there's not much in between. Like, people will defend him no matter what. He said a lot of nice things after the game. He said you can't blame the coaches for this or that. Like, love some of the things. And there's a lot of people out there going, people just don't like a confident black man. And
I'm not buying that.
I don't think that's it, guys. And I think people want to rest their laurels. It's not that. It's the fact that he hasn't done anything. And he's making decisions for himself like he's been in this league for years or like he's the best quarterback in the league. And it's just not going to happen. And I think some of that transition is starting to change. At least you hope. I thought he deserved better in the game that they played. Jerry Jeudy with a couple drops. But hey, he also missed Jerry Jeudy when he was wide open and overthrew him. And the problem I see with this, there's so many people, like, for example, Jerry Jeudy is going after him on the sideline talking about that play where he overthrew him. And everybody's like, well, Jerry Jeudy should just shut his mouth. He doesn't know. You guys don't even know what they're talking about. You're not reading lips. You can see he's animated. So what if Jerry Jeudy's passionate and he wants to win the same way that Shedeur does? Yeah. But like, it's amazing to me how people draw a line in the sand and go, yeah, this guy is going to be this. And no matter what you tell me, even if you give me facts, it's not going to change my mind.
Right. The facts don't matter.
Yeah.
Don't let them get in the way of good argument. No, it's just really. And it bothers me with Shedeur because I'm really, like a lot of people, I believe, getting tired of the race card being thrown constantly. They don't like a confident black man. That's not the case.
Not at all.
He acted like a jerk. There's a difference between confident being a jerk. He acted like a petulant child in interviews and, this over-the-top, bragging behavior, retiring his number. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Well, I mean, look, I want to see more of him to see how he can play with this team. He's got to get on the same page as Jeudy. And I'm not even telling you Judy's right. I just think it's hilarious. It's the same thing that happened with Sam Bisaccia and Dean Kramer. When everybody's like, you can't yell at him. He's the future of our team. He just got here, guys. You don't know what he's talking to him about. Right, maybe how he wants him to set up. Mm-hmm. He's a rookie,
Right.
I just don't get it sometimes where people draw the line in the sand. Let's run through the rest of these games. We both had Jacksonville. I had Indy. Did you have Houston?
I had Houston.
So, talking about that, Jacksonville now in first place. Houston now in the playoff
picture.
Did
you have Indy in that game?
I took Indy, but Houston to cover.
And you had San Francisco, I assume.
No, I had the Browns.
You had Cleveland.
Yeah, that was my lock. Swing and a miss. We both had Miami?
Yes.
We both had the Jets. That's the one that Rob was different on.
Yes, Rob had the Falcons.
Jets got a big win there. Tampa Bay?
Had Tampa.
That game could have gone either way, too. Baker getting the done. Yeah, Baker. Carolina and the Rams. I guarantee none of us had Carolina.
No, I had the Rams.
Minnesota at Seattle.
I had Seattle.
With maybe the worst interception you ever see in your life. Yeah. That poor rookie quarterback. Ooh. Nah, baby, what are you doing?
Yeah. They shut them out. It's not too many shutouts in the NFL. They shut the Vikings out. Mm.
Buffalo, I had them at Pittsburgh, even though I thought Pittsburgh would cover. They didn't, but I had Buffalo. Chargers, Vegas.
Chargers.
Yep. And Denver and Washington?
I had Denver.
Had them winning by 1 point. How'd they go? Oh, that's all they do is win close games.
Yes, 27-26.
And tonight we both have New England. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts about tonight?
I mean, I'd like to say.
Jackson Dart's back.
I know. And the Giants are one of those teams, like, I don't know what to expect. I really don't. With Dart back, who knows with them? They seem to give good teams fits. They hang in a lot of games against superior opponents.
Haven't they blown three fourth-quarter double-digit leads?
I believe they have. And they tend to blow good leads against good teams. And I don't know what to expect here. I picked New England, but if the Giants won, it would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, I picked New England. I think this is a lower-scoring game. I'm on the under in this spot. But there are some... Oh, we'll get to it in the daily line. It's kind of unusual to have a daily line on Monday. But we'll have one today, so I get to talk about all these games and what happened yesterday. But... the overall thing that I can't get away from, Ed, is the fact that these divisions are flipped upside down. You look out at the NFC West, there are three teams with, what, 9 wins?
Yeah, yes.
They're all going to get in the playoffs.
Rams, Seahawks, and 49ers have 9 wins.
Then you got three other spots that are open for the other division winners, and then one more wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So Dallas, Philly, if you're looking at the North, Detroit, yeah. Green Bay... You know, like, unless one of those teams has a collapse down the stretch, they're going to be, all three of those teams are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we're, it feels weird saying this, we're going to have a season where these teams that we thought were great at the beginning of the year without a plethora of injuries, for whatever reason, just stunk up the joint. The Chiefs, the Bills may not be in the postseason. The Ravens may not be in the postseason, right. Although I think they make it. Seeing Jacksonville in first place, it's like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
This is the same team that just got their asses handed to them over and over again.
I thought anybody was going to run away with that division.
And now here's Houston.
Look how they started the season off.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, the NFL, if you like the parody, hats off to you. I don't have an issue with parody. I think it's mediocrity.
I think it's mediocrity, too.
So that's where
I'm not a big fan of it at all.
That's where I stand with it. Ravens Steelers coming up this week. So looking forward to that, and we'll be talking a lot of that throughout the week. All right, coming up next, Ed, we've got shovels. Who's going to get your shovel?
I'm going to give it again to the National Football League because there's some things here I just don't like. I don't know why they don't change things.
We'll take shovels, yours and ours, 410-583-1057. That's coming up next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, it's time for shovels, 410-583-1057. If you want to get in, Ed, who gets your shovel?
I think we have the NFL Rules Committee. I think that with all the rules changes they make, they really need to get their act together, get consistent. There's so many things that really bother me. I don't like the new kickoff, by the way. I just think they tweak the kickoff every year. Just what was so bad about the way we used to do it? And this whole waiting for someone to get it, and if it doesn't fall between this and that. And it's like,
and now they've already found a loophole. You get a penalty on a kickoff, right. Just kick the damn thing out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. The onside kick is no longer a surprise, so why bother? And then the one, I mean, Joe was outraged about this. Why is it when you fumble through the end zone, it's a loss of possession? I don't understand that.
I've never understood it, but I've never been against it. Because in the letter of the law of what the rules are, that's how it should be. Because any ball that goes through the back of the end zone is a touchback. Or goes out of bounds.
Yeah, touchback. You should catch it. You should get on the 20.
Yeah. But I think maybe the way that they should do this, it sounds goofy too, is, okay, make it a touchback, but give the ball back to the team that had it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, give them the ball on the 20.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. You're about to cross the goal line. You fumble through the end zone and you lose possession. Like, what? What's the rhyme or reason for that? And I don't get, I just think so many, and then, you know, let's come up with what is a catch and be consistent with it. Because every game is different.
Yeah.
Every single game is different.
They had a play in, what game was it? I wish I'd have written this down. Where everybody's saying it's not a catch. The announcers, they go to the ref, whoever it was. I don't know if it was Sterator or somebody else. I forget what channel it was on. They go to him. Yeah, it's not a catch. They come back, review it. Yeah, it's a catch.
Yeah.
How? There's no rhyme or reason to any of that. My shovel is going to go to Black Jesus, who just tweeted at me. And you, actually. When Rob's not here, here come Ed Norris and J-Con Sports Sander bashing. I guess that's supposed to, you know, Shador Sanders. Should be Sanders bashing. It should be plural. But, like, so if Rob's here, do you think I'm afraid to say?
Again, what I just say? Hey, people throw the race card. Yeah. It's implied.
It's already been implied by this guy, which pisses me off. Like, you could sit here and talk about how this person's great, that person's great.
I don't hear Rob defending Sanders that much.
That's the other part of this. He hasn't.
He hasn't, so stop it.
But why on earth would you assume, because Rob's not here, I would say something negative about... I got no fear. Like, I'll call anybody out at this station. I don't care. Like, but this stuff, this is what drives me nuts, to which I told him, there's only one of us that are swinging on Shador Sanders' nuts, and that's you. Because the guy can do no wrong. God, Josina Anderson comes in and defends him no matter what happened. No matter what happened. Watch this Jerry Jeudy drop. Okay, yeah, he dropped it. Watch Jerry Jeudy wide open and watch him throw it over his head.
Yeah.
It's not a Shador Sanders bashing. Talking about what happened in the game. These are factual things. And by the way, wasn't I the one that said that he took up for his coach and said, we're not going to bash my coach? So shut your ass up, Black Jesus. I mean, you write the dumbest stuff to me that's always race baiting every single time. And it's old. It's tired.
Yes.
It's so tired. Oh, God. Anyway, that's my shovel. That wasn't going to be my shovel until I read that tweet in the commercial break. What is it about Shador Sanders that people look at him and go, yeah, he should be defended blindly no matter what happens, and it's everybody else's fault, and he's just a confident black man. This isn't... No, it's not that. Stop with that nonsense. There are plenty of confident guys in the league. You know, Anthony Edwards is one of the most confident players I've ever seen in the NBA. Is anybody talking about him in this way? No.
No.
I mean, it's absurd, man. It's just so absurd. That being said... Let's keep it moving. One of the things I did want to bring up to you that we didn't get a chance to really talk about, and it'll bleed into the next segment, was college football. I'm going to give you the rankings and what's coming out. We did talk a lot about Ole Miss. Just to reiterate this, Ed, Lane Kiffin going to LSU. How do you feel about that situation? Are you mad at him for going? Are you mad at him for the way he went about it? Or should people just get over this too?
I'm mad at him for going because...
Selfishly, you wanted to see Ole Miss win.
I wanted to see Ole Miss win a national championship, or at least win the SEC. I predicted them to win the SEC. And I think they have such a great season. First time they're going to be in the college playoffs in their history. Like, and this happens. I just can't, for the life of me, understand this one. But then they wouldn't let them finish the season, so I'm kind of torn about it. I think Ole Miss mishandled this, too. I don't think they did a great job with this.
I mean, but what could they have done? Just let him get everything he wanted?
No, just let him coach at the end of the season.
I'm saying. That's what he wanted. So he would get everything he wanted and then leave.
So? Maybe get a national championship out of it. I mean, sometimes I think there's too much of a, you know,
It's like your girlfriend saying we're breaking up, but we can have one last go round if you want. You know, like, oh, I'm seeing somebody else. But if you just want one go round, we'll have it right now. That's what you want Ole Miss to do?
What's wrong with that?
Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think I ever got that said to me. But I got a tweet from Mr. Plow, which good stuff here, by the way. Just catching up on the app for Kiffin. One, LSU won't wait and let him coach a conference rival to a natty. Very fair point. Tulane has no shot. Very fair point. So Florida doesn't care. Two, telling your coaches if they stay for playoffs, they have no spot with him is wildly sociopathic.
That was nuts.
I
got to say, that was something.
How about that?
Said if you're not on the plane today, you won't have a spot.
You know, that happened with Nick Saban at Michigan State. Do you know this story? I actually read this from Jamel. She tweeted out, she's a Michigan State alum, and said that Nick Saban told his coaches, he's sending a jet. If you guys aren't on the tarmac, you're not coming with me. You just forget about coming to coach at, what was that, LSU at that point in time? Yeah, he sent the plane. Mm-hmm. Nobody got on it. Nobody. I guess, like, all right, so if you're one of those coaches, are you rolling the dice to say, hey, I'm going to stay here and maybe I get a job? Because the problem is, if you stay and they hire a new coach and he wants to bring in a new defensive coordinator, now you're left holding the bag. You know what I mean? Like, that could clearly happen. We talked about Mancelino gets a chance to manage the Orioles the rest of the season. Did a fairly good job, right? Probably deserved better than what he got. So yeah. What happens? Now he has no job.
Right. Yes.
And I'm not laughing. It's just the way that these things unfold all the time. But with Lane Kiffin, yeah, it sucks, man. Well, let's talk about the college football playoff. We'll do that in the next segment. You got thoughts on that? Michigan, Ohio State, as Ohio State finally gets over the hump. There was a big thing at midfield that, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see it?
Defending the M?
Yeah, where they were, I'll tell you what Ryan Day said to the head coach of Michigan about, hey, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that, so get your guys. No, it's our field, jackass. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go anywhere, but we'll get into it, talk about what the playoffs could look like, all that and more right here on 105.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.